Now, this week particularly, and over the past few weeks, we've been going through a very tough time in our nation. Now, Friday night, there was a black man that was shot and killed at a Wendy's in a parking lot in Atlanta, Georgia. Last night, the protesters burned the Wendy's down to the ground and blocked the interstate traffic on 75 and 85. And if you've ever been to Atlanta, and I have a lot, if you block 75 and 85, you have stopped the town. And traffic was thousands and thousands of cars were stopped for hours and hours on the interstate. I don't know. I mean, there could have been health issues going on in those people. This was a very awful thing for these people to do. And but all this past week, particularly in all the weeks since the death of George Floyd, there's been two cries that I've heard. And one is for justice. Everybody wants justice. They want racial justice. And the other thing that I've heard from our churches, coming from the Southern Baptist Convention and coming from our York Baptist Association, is this notion of racial reconciliation. And I can't think of any better verses in the scripture to talk about both of these issues than these five verses that we're going to talk about this morning. The first thing that David writes here in verse 6 from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit's guidance, he says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Now, in America today, there are a lot of black people that believe that they are and can, have always been and continue to be oppressed. Now, they are not the only group of people in this nation that feel that way. We certainly know that with the founding of this nation and the progress of this nation from the East Coast to the West Coast, that there were many American Indians that were, or American Natives, better spoken with that word, that were oppressed. There have been immigrants, particularly from the northern European nations of Poland and those areas, that came into New York City, and they were a group of people that were significantly oppressed. There were tons of people that have come to this nation and have the argument that they are oppressed. Well, we serve a God that understands that all of us are oppressed. Right? Aren't we? Don't you feel oppressed? Don't you feel oppressed? Now, Miss Julie's saying no. Jimmy's saying yes. The rest of you are looking at me like a deer in the headlights. Like, what is he talking about? When you think of the issues of man, they are different than the issues of God. Who are we oppressed in God's eyes? That's what we need to think about here. Who is oppressed in God's eyes? Well, all of mankind is oppressed in God's eyes because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are bound for hell unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All of us are oppressed in that perspective. And none of us are free from that oppression. Now, is it true to say, like Jane just mentioned, that Christians around the world are oppressed? Yes, in some places they are oppressed. You and I really aren't. We don't really see that oppression daily in our lives. But as a body of believers within a nation like the United States of America, there is a lot of Christian oppression that goes on, even by our government. But that's not the oppression that God is speaking of here, I don't believe. Certainly the Jews have been oppressed. I mean, Hitler killed some 60 million of them. If you want to get to a bad person, that's a bad person. That's oppression. But that's still not the oppression. God will execute execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He will protect his own. Once we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he will safeguard us. Does that mean that we will never face calamity? No. Does it mean that we will never face prejudice? No. Does it mean that we will never face people trying to destroy our lives because of what we believe? No, that doesn't mean that. What it means is that when we close our eyes in death, we have all of heaven and all of eternity to spend with Christ. He's watching out over us because he has guaranteed our future. Does that make sense? So when he says he's going to bring righteousness and judgment to everyone that is oppressed, then what does that really mean? Righteousness. Are you righteous? Am I righteous? No, I'm not. You have to speak for yourself. But I'm not righteous because there's no righteous. My righteousness is as filthy rags to God. I can't be righteous. In his idea of righteousness, I can't get there. It's impossible for me to get there. Now, I can have a reputation with the public that says, oh, there's a good guy. Hey, that's a good guy. But that's mankind righteousness. Mankind righteousness don't buy you nothing. It don't earn you nothing for eternity. What you need is a God-style righteousness in your life. And only God can bring that righteousness. So not only can he bring that righteousness, he can execute that righteousness in your heart. He can bring you to his level of righteousness because of his son. And his son willingly gave his life on a cross to confirm his righteousness to us. And judgment? Let me tell you something about judgment. The last thing on earth that I want is justice. I do not want God's judgment against me. I do not want any judgment against me. I don't want justice. I want mercy. I don't want God to judge me. I don't want God to put me in a place where I am judged for my sins and for my failures. I want his mercy on me. The last thing I want is justice. Judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Remember what happened to the nation of Israel? Out of captivity, out of slavery of one man, Joseph, God saved the nation of Israel. When the famines came and starvation was upon them, they went to Egypt, and lo and behold, this person that they sold into slavery, this child that they sold into slavery, one of Jacob's children, that person had become an official in the nation of Egypt. He had crawled out of that bondage of slavery and become a very influential person, and he saved his family, which saved the nation of Israel. And sometimes we forget that the story doesn't end there, does it? So 400 years later, where was the nation of Israel? Still in Egypt. And they had been enslaved again. So the nation of Israel had been enslaved again, and God had to come to Moses and say, you need to go get my people out of there. You need to get my people out of slavery. And he did. In a miraculous way, God revealed himself to Moses. He revealed his righteousness and judgment for those that were oppressed. He led them out. I want to share a lot of different things here, but I want to start with this comment. As we hear people within our nation scream for racial justice, for racial reconciliation, it should be very much noted that those two things can never happen. Quit asking for what cannot ever be. It can never happen. It is impossible for mankind to live up to those ideals. I would challenge you, but I'm not going to. I would challenge you by saying, stand up if you have never, ever, one time in your entire life issued a racial slur or used a derogatory word toward another race. I would venture to say that there's no one in here that could stand. I certainly couldn't. And there's no one out there outside the walls of this church that could stand either. I had a brief discussion with Pastor Robert this morning because his message this morning told the absolute truth about racial injustice. He said racial injustice can never be conquered. Racial justice can never be found outside of Jesus Christ. Period. You can beg for it. You can ask for it. You can try for it. You can fight for it. You can do anything you want for it. But it can never be accomplished outside of Jesus Christ. And Austin was sitting there listening to us, and he even made the statement. He said that he had told his wife that he and I get along great, and we've never had a quarrel word. He's black, by the way. You do know that, right? And I am white, right? And we've never had a quarrel word. Why? Because it's about Jesus. It ain't about the color of his skin. It ain't about the color of my skin. He has stood in this pulpit and preached to you. I have stood in this pulpit and preached to his congregation. Why? Because it's about Jesus. We don't look at each other and see race. Race doesn't matter when it's in Jesus. If all these protesters that marched in Atlanta last night really want racial justice, really want racial reconciliation, then they have to find it in Christ. They will not find it in the government. They will not find it in the justice system. They will not find it in any organization that they may create, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or any of those organizations that are out there. They will never find it there. It will never be found there. Go to church. Find Jesus. He makes it right. He will create a love in your heart that passes all understanding. The term reconciliation is a problem with me. I told this to Pastor Robert this morning. To be reconciled to someone means that at one time that you were getting along hunky-dory and something happened to break up the relationship. Well, as far as I know, the black people and the white people in the United States of America since the 1600s have not gotten along well. There has never been a time when they ever did. So what are you reconciling to? Remember that clamoring for reconciliation is to try to go back to something that was in the past. This is very important for you to understand. Asking for reconciliation is trying to go back to a point in the past when things were different. Never been that point between the races. That point has never existed. So you can't go back to something that didn't exist. You have to move forward to something that you want to see. That is completely different than our relationship with Jesus Christ. At one point, mankind had a wonderful relationship with God. Let me tell you about that relationship. There was a man and there was a woman, and they lived in a garden. It was a beautiful, beautiful garden. Their task was to till the garden, was to dress the garden. Matt goes out there near about every day and tills her garden. The flower garden, and the flowers are so beautiful this year. We actually had spring. How about that? We don't usually have spring, but we had a bad spring. Her flower garden is so beautiful. That's what Adam and Eve did. They tilled the garden and they worshiped God. And you know what they did? They walked. They walked in the garden with God. Think about that. Now that's a relationship. That is what we want. So mankind sinned. And when mankind sinned, it divided that relationship between man and God. The Bible tells us in, I think it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's 1st. But it tells us that Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross to reconcile you and me to God. We can take a walk with God in the garden now. And you're sitting there saying, I don't see any Garden of Eden around me. I haven't gone out in the backyard and walked around with God. Why not? Miss Julie, can you not walk around with God? He's there, ain't he? He promised to be right there with you. When he saved your soul, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood, provided the remission of your sins, when he carried all that sin to the cross, when he bore that burden for you, and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then he became your friend. Your relationship with God was reconciled, just like Adam and Eve was inside that garden. Yes, you can go outside your house and walk around the backyard and talk to God, because he is there and he is listening and he wants to hear your every thought. Sometimes Mac and I just need to talk. Not anything about anything particular. We just need to talk to each other. When I was working out of the out of the house all the time in the office, or traveling around when I worked for AT&T or the internet services or wherever I worked, there was a lot of times when I would just call her in the middle of the day. Why? Because I just needed to hear her voice. Just needed to talk. And sometimes I would call her and the phone would be busy because she was calling me at the same time. Because I just needed to talk. Not anything about particular issues, problems, or all that kind of stuff. Sometimes you just need to talk. God wants that too. He wants you to be reconciled to him, to have that type of relationship. So when all these people out there are clamoring for racial reconciliation, what are they really seeking? Are they seeking a utopian world, excuse me, where everyone just is in joy and pleasure with everyone? There's no animosity, there's no wars, there's no fights, there's no racism, there's no nothing. Is that what they're seeking? Because they've never had it before. It's never existed before, but if that's what they're seeking, I'm going to be here to tell you, according to the scripture, that can never happen on the face of this earth until Jesus Christ comes back again. I'm sorry? Absolutely. Miss Julie, you're nailing it right on the head. These people that are clamoring in the streets are looking for peace. And the only place they're ever going to find it is in Jesus Christ. They can search for it down I-75 or I-85. They can search for it in a Wendy's parking lot as they watch the building burn and they stand around and cheer. They can search for it in all those places, but they're not going to find it. Go to church that preaches the Bible and find Jesus Christ. He'll bring reconciliation, not with a person of a different race, but with him. Once you have reconciliation with God, then all of your prejudices, all of the racism, all of the thoughts that you might have about people of other colors will dissipate. They will go away. Why? Because God doesn't see color, and he doesn't want us seeing color. God doesn't see races, and he doesn't want to see us race. be racist. Now, this Bible doesn't say, this Bible does not say that God died, Jesus Christ died on that cross for all the white people. Does it? It also doesn't say he died for all the Jews. It also doesn't say that he died for all the black people. Who did he die for? All of us. Every single one of us. And once we put that issue to bed, once we have salvation nailed down in our lives, and we're walking with God, all the rest of it goes away. So much to think about. All right, let's get in these three verses real quick before we end. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I don't want justice from God. Please don't, God. Please do not put justice upon me. I want mercy. And God is merciful. Not only is he merciful, but he's gracious in his mercy. He lavishes his mercy on us. And on top of that, he's slow to get mad at us. He will let us abuse him, disrespect him. He will let us out there a long ways before he allows his anger to bring judgment against us. He will continue to put mercy all over our lives. And aren't we thankful for that? Aren't we thankful for mercy? We should be. I don't want to be punished. Remember the story I told you last week about the person who owned the sports shop? And I think it was in Minneapolis, but it might have been in Dallas. I can't remember what town it was in. I didn't go back and look it up to find out where it was, but the guy was interviewed on Fox News, and he said he was the owner of the store, and looters had come in and destroyed it. One of the people who looted it came back several days later, came into his store, brought back everything that he had stolen, and asked for his apology. And the store owner had every right to call the police and have him arrested. But instead, he gave him mercy. Mercy. He had mercy on him. The looter apologized, he forgave him, and he left. That's mercy. When I stand before God one day, and I will, so will you, it will be Satan that will bring up to God all of the terrible things that I have done in my life, all the terrible things I've said, all the acts I've committed, anything and everything that I've done. And it will be Jesus Christ himself who will say, but they're covered with my blood. And I am going to have mercy. He's not always going to chide us. He's not always going to get in our face and fuss at us with great anger in his voice. But he's also not ever going to give up on us. He's not dealt with me after my sins. He's not dealt with you after yours. But instead, he has rewarded us with mercy instead of our just deserts for our iniquities. What a magnificent God we serve. What a magnificent Savior we have. If there's any doubt in your mind about your salvation, don't leave this building and let it be in doubt. Because He is a wonderful God. And anytime that anybody, that you get an opportunity to talk to anybody, your family, friends, strangers on the street, about what is being clamored for in this nation right now regarding reconciliation and injustices, make sure they understand fully and completely that the only way they'll ever see it is if the entire nation turns to Christ. Racism is a fact of life. We are humans. We're born with a carnal nature. We will always have racism as long as we live. But it doesn't have to be a ruling factor in our lives, because once Jesus Christ saves you, He will blind you to the color of a man's skin, and He will allow you to see the color of his heart. There was one quote that I wanted to read you. Oh, Austin, I think I lost my quote. No, here it is. This was a quote from a theologian by the name of Baker, and it was actually quoted, a quote of Baker's, in Spurgeon's commentary. So Spurgeon was quoting Baker because he said this so well. And you need to hear this and understand it. Why is it that God hath not dealt with us after our sins? Is it not because He hath dealt with another after our sins? Another who took our sins upon Him? Instead of dealing with us regarding our sins, God the Father dealt with God the Son. He placed all of our sins on His Son on that cross. Every single one of them. Want to be reconciled? Don't worry about being reconciled to a person. Get reconciled to Christ. You want justice? No. We don't want justice. We want mercy. Mac, Jesus is tenderly calling, 3:16.